Welcome to another episode of History Under Your Feet. Today we take a look at the life of Rani Rashmani, the founder of the Dakshineshwar Temple in Kolkata, close associate of Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, one of the most remarkable women ever in Indian history, financed the construction of ghats across the country, took the British head on and played a major role in the Bengali Renaissance. The widow of a wealthy businessman Raja Ramchandra Das, was born in a humble Mahishya family on September 28, 1793 near Halisahar in the northern Parganas to northern Hare Krishna Biswas and Rampyari Devi. The mother passing away when she was just 7 years old, Rashmani was married off at 11 years to a much older Raja Chandra Das of Chanbajar, one of Kolkata's wealthy Jamindas and a successful businessman too. The family made their wealth transporting bamboo across the Biliyaghatta Canal and building warehouses on the canal to store goods ranging from musk to muslin. She would play an important role in her husband's business, looking after the estate affairs, and it's believed that the famous Baba Ghat and Ahirtola Ghat were built on her advice. With the death of her husband, it was left to Rashmani to handle the affairs of the estate at a very young age, and for the next 30 years, with a keen business acumen, she grew the estate from strength to strength, reached out to the poor and downtrodden, and took the British head on at a time when most of Kolkata's upper class gentry was either hesitant to or in league with them. During the 1840s, the fishing communities in Bengal along the Hooghly were facing a major survival crisis. The Ganga was the lifeline of these communities, especially between February and October, when they would set out to net the famed hilsa in large quantities. The East India Company, sensing a lucrative opportunity here, imposed a tax on these boats, claiming that they obstructed the ferries. In reality, it was more a revenue collection measure for the company. When the helpless fishermen approached the allied landlords of Kolkata seeking support, most of them turned their backs, not wanting to offend their patrons in the company. Disheartened, the fishermen turned to their last resort, Rani Rashmani Devi here, herself. She offered the company Rs. 10,000, taking lease of a 10-kilometer long stretch of the Hooghly. After she got the lease documents, she placed two massive iron chains across the Ganga at Mitia Bruj and Kusuri, where the river arched like a bow, invited the fishermen to cast their nets in the zone. As the fishing boats flocked to the zone, all the traffic on the river came to a halt and the company officials demanded an explanation. Rashmani pointed out that the constant river traffic was affecting the livelihood of fishermen in her property, and as a leaseholder, she was entitled under British law to protect the income she was getting from her property. She put it across to the British that she had no compunctions in going the legal route and would not unshackle the river until a verdict was reached in court. With steamships barks piling up on the riverfront, the company officials were forced to repeal the tax, giving fishermen full access to the river. Rani Rashmani had humbled the British using their own tactics and then protected the rights of the native fishing communities. And then that was the Rani who did not hesitate to take on the high and mighty and fought fiercely for what she believed in. She persuaded Dwarkanath Tagore, grandfather of Rabindranath Tagore, to part with two of his estates to replace the loan he had taken from her husband. And considering the power and influence of the Tagores at that time, it was one daring step. She maintained her own private army, the Littles, to take on oppressive Jamindas and British indigo planters. When the British authorities stopped Puja processions with drums and celebrations, claiming it disturbed peace, she defied orders and led the processions herself. And she was fined 40 rupees. People turned out in large numbers to pay the amount, once again forcing the British to take back the decision. On another occasion, some British soldiers misbehaved with a woman in her estate. She got them arrested and imprisoned in a palace. When the enraged British soldiers laid siege to her Chanbajar estate, she took the sword in her own hand and stood to defend her subjects and their family deity, Raghunath Ji. Her biggest achievement, though, with the construction of the Dakshineshwar temple complex on the banks of the Hooghly. It's believed that once on a pilgrimage to Kasi, Ma Kali herself appeared in a dream to her and ordered to build a temple for her on the banks of the river and offered daily Anna Bhog. She purchased a 20-acre plot from an Englishman, Jake Hestie, then known as Sahiban Bagicha, and then began the construction of the temple that took around 8 years to complete. However, not many of the priests were willing to consecrate the temple built by a woman, that too from a Shudra community. It was then a poor Brahmin from Kamarpukur, Ramkumar Chattopadhyay, who agreed to do the installation of the deity. And then on May 31st, 1855, Kali Ma was installed in the temple and Ram Kumar served as a head priest. Ram Kumar's younger brother Gadadhar arrived soon, and his rather unorthodox ways of worshipping Kali Ma did not go down well with many priests and people who called him a madman. Gadadhar would spend hours in trance before Kali Ma, often lying on the ground, calling out for her, pining for her. The Rani would observe secretly his worship to Kali Ma along with the son-in-law Madhur Babu and formed in him a divine manifestation. She allowed Gadadhar to worship Kalima in whatever way he chose, overruling the objection of others, and would soon make him the head priest. Gadadhar would become more famous as Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, who in turn considered the Rani his own mother. As Nipetita put it, without Rani Rishmani, there would have been no Dakshineswar. Gadadhar would not have become Sri Ramakrishna, nor would Narendranath Datta go on to become Swami Vivekananda. In a way, Rani Rishmani Devi laid the foundation of the Bengali Renaissance. The Rani herself was an ardent devotee of Kalima. Her official seal was engraved with Sri Rishmani Das belonging to the feet of Kali. One of the grandest Durga Puja celebrations was at a Janbajar home that included the traditional all-night jatras. Eden Gardens was actually part of her estate, which she later donated to the Eden Sisters of then Governor General Lord Auckland. And apart from Dakshineshwar, she also got a road constructed from Subarnarekha River to Puri Jagannath Temple for the benefit of pilgrims. She donated generously to the Imperial Library, now the National Library in Kolkata, as well as the Hindu College, now the Presidency University. When a band of thugs were harassing people in the Sundarbans, she persuaded them to give up their plundering and granted them facilities to fish in the delta, transforming them. She passed away on February 19, 1861, at the age of 67, but not before leaving a rich legacy in the form of Dakshineshwar and her many charitable works. A woman born in a humble family who went on to manage one of Kolkata's richest families, built temples, defied the British, and always stood for the poor and downtrodden, a truly great lady, Rani Rishmani Devi.